Thank you. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 5 tonight. Luke chapter 5. Again, it's great to have you here. I don't know if we're having a break in the rain or if it's going to rain more, but I'm very thankful for the rain that we have, and so let's just enjoy that together. As soon as you find your place, if you'll join me by standing, I'd like to read God's Word together in honor of the Lord, and we'll read starting with verse number 1 in Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled the ship, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would open our eyes and teach us the great lessons we have in this passage from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Here we find that the disciples had already been called just very, very shortly before this scene had taken place. Jesus was now had come to them, and he was about to teach them what we would call his greatest concern in this world. Now, he was preparing them very early on in the call that he had for them to be concerned about getting the gospel to the world. The followers thought that their business was fishing for fish. They were young believers. They still had a lot to learn. They weren't certain as to what it was all about. And so Jesus was about to come to them, and he was going to teach them his concern. Because I'm going to tell you this tonight, God's concern should be our concern. What God wants, that's what we should want. What is God's will should be our will. And so Jesus was about to teach Peter, James, and John, and Andrew these very important truths that we'll look at tonight, because what God is wanting us to understand is that he has a main concern. The concern of heaven is found in these verses. And he wants these men to align their calling up with what God's will is. In just a few weeks, as I touched on the fact we're having our mission Sundays, there were these men and women that will come here. That's exactly what they chose to do. They lined up to what God's will is for their life. They became burdened about God's main concern. And I'm very thankful that we have good missionaries who are serving around the world, like Brother Flores. People who are going out, who are touching lives, who are seeing lives changed with the gospel. There are three elements that Jesus tells us about in this story that are necessary in order to accomplish God's main concern. I want you to notice these, because here's what we have. We have Jesus had arrived on what we believe is about the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. That's where Gennesaret is. And if you could overlook this and see down in that area of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus had come, and he had come to the very first that we need in these elements, is the men in the story. I want to talk about, first of all, the men in the story. Because they had fished all night. Jesus had come to them. And Jesus was about to instruct them on something that they had never heard before. This, by the way, this Sea of Galilee is about 300 feet below sea level. It's the lowest lake in the entire world. It's a strange lake because it can have a storm without any notice. In other words, a storm can just come in, blow in. I mean, it's just a very unusual place. Very beautiful place. And Jesus had arrived early in the morning, and Peter, James, John, and Andrew had been fishing all night. And they were cleaning their nets because they want to make sure that now they're done, they want to get their nets clean so that it'll be ready to be used the next time around. But God was going to give them a lesson on life, a lesson on ministry. Now, I remember when I first went to Bible college, I thought that was, you know, I'm going to learn all about, you know, how to do the ministry and what God wants and all of those things. And I'll never forget when I went in my freshman year, I was so excited about learning more about how the church ministry works and the Bible and all those things. But I remember my first semester, I had English, history, science, speech. And I'm thinking, wow, I don't get this. I'm looking for things like budget 101, you know, and I want to learn about, you know, about how to help reach people and evangelism. I want to learn all of those things, but you know, it sometimes we have to have the necessary things to get to those places, and that's what it was involved. But for Jesus, he was getting right to the chase. It was the ministry. And by the way, in the ministry, God chooses to use people. That's who God chooses to use. People like you. Normal people. People who have a heart to be willing to do whatever God wants them to do. And I believe that that's so important in this passage that we learn. Because God says that one of his main concerns in accomplishing this task of getting the gospel to the world is he needs people. People like you, people like me. In fact, Paul writes about that in Romans when he says this. He says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, the bottom line is that they need to hear from preachers. Now, ladies, I realize that when we look in the Bible says a woman, as far as preaching in front of crowds, is that's not their place. And so don't take that wrong, but that's what the Bible says. But I will tell you this, you can still be a good preacher. You can still be a good preacher. In fact, I'll be honest with you, it's not about qualification. I mean, it's not about quality, it's just about qualification. Because I've heard of my wife, man, she's preached me a really good message a time or two. But the Bible makes it very clear that all of us, we are given the opportunity to take the gospel to the world. I think of Jim Kinese. Many of you know Jim Kinese and the situation with Jim Kinese. But his wife is writing wonderful letters. How many of you are getting her cornucopia? Are you getting those? And she's responding and telling about their ministry. And you know, just as I read what she writes, her heart is just aching, but yet at the same time, God's using them. They saw someone saved this past week. They saw someone trust Christ, and just how God's using them. And you know, we have to keep in mind that's what it is. Well, these men, they probably thought of themselves only as fishermen. But God says, no, I want to use you. I have a plan for your life. So when I think about it, I look at their opportunity. What an opportunity they have. They have the opportunity to take the gospel into this world, into the area in which they're serving God. They have the opportunity to take the gospel. And if you think about it, here these four men are. They're going to have Jesus instruct them on what this ministry is all about. You know, there are just times in our life when God just wants to instruct us, when we just need to sit down and let God teach us. There are times like that. The Apostle Paul, immediately after he had received Christ and trusted on him, God had sent him into the wilderness and to instruct him so that he could get for him the instruction that God had for him so that he could be the apostle that he became for the Lord Jesus in the first century. There are times that just for us, we need to just stop and say, let God instruct us so that he can teach us what he wants us to do. And did you notice here that Jesus took over Simon Peter's boat? Did you see that? I kind of think that's interesting, you know. Here he was, he had this tool that he was using to take care of his family, and the Bible said that Jesus took over that in order to instruct Peter on how to serve the Lord. So we talk about the opportunity. What an opportunity. We have an opportunity right here in Northern California. We have the opportunity right here in Solano County to take the gospel to a community where they need to hear the gospel. How many of you agree with that? Amen? And so as we take this opportunity and look at this passage, we realize that what God is showing to us is that he wants us to realize the opportunities we have, just as he had, and just as the missionaries are taking advantage of their opportunities. Secondly, I want you to notice their occupation. What were they to be occupied with? Well, for them, it was fishing. They were expert fishermen. They were men who could fish and catch fish, and they would bring in and take care of their families. It was the way in which they dealt with it. When we were in Israel, last year? We were in Israel. We actually ate at Peter's Fish House. Wasn't the Peter's Fish House, but that's what they called it, the Peter's Fish House. But they knew their trade quite well. They knew how to catch fish. But on that night, nothing. They caught nothing. What a tragedy to think about. You know, they had fished all night. They gave all they got. They did all they could. And now they'd come in and it's daybreak. And here's Jesus standing on the shore. And they had nothing to show for it. So Jesus is about to teach them some valuable lessons. Only it wasn't about fishing for fish. It's about fishing for men. And that's significant. I want you to notice there are four areas, and I think I put them in your notes there, that Jesus teaches us about fishing for men. First of all, we're to go where God sends us. If we're going to see this idea that wherever God sends us, that's where we should go, because in the story, what Jesus told Peter was, you go put the nets over here. And for us, where he sends us is here. And where we are, you know, and sometimes people say, you know, it's a kind of funny thing. I've lived in California all these years, and it seems like to me there's always people wanting to leave or people just got here. But somewhere along the way, we have to understand that we have to serve right where we are, that we have to do right where God placed us, and there's people around us, and that's what Jesus wanted these disciples to understand. You need to go where I send you. If I sent you here, that's your opportunity. And then secondly, we're to go where the fish are. How many agree with me that there's a lot of fish here in California? Amen? They got 300,000 plus people here in Solano County. in all over the Northern California. We have a lot of people. I don't know, 10 million people. That's a lot of people. So we go where the fish are. Thirdly, we're to use the right kind of bait. Maybe the reason why they aren't biting is because we're using the wrong kind of bait. The best bait, of course, we know, is Jesus Christ, the hope of the gospel. But then the fourth lesson he wanted them, instruct them about, was they must be patient. How many of you struggle with patience? Are you like me? You know? Yeah, I mean, like when you get in the car, you want everyone to get out of the way so you can get there. It just doesn't work like that. We have to be patient. So what this involves then is that Jesus is saying that his main concern is to get the gospel, but the ingredient, one element in the story, that which we have to have is we need man, people, you, me, missionaries, people. God uses people. The second element in the story is the message. We have a message. We have a great message. Our message has never been duplicated, nor can it be duplicated. It's a perfect message. It's God's message. Thank God it's God's message. But the message is a little deeper for us as believers. Let me give it to you. First of all, Jesus is the Lord of our lives. Now, for Peter, this was a little bit of a struggle. Because if you notice here that they had fished all night, they let their nets down, they were kind of cleaning up, getting finished up, and you know, they were heading in for the day, maybe to go get that well-needed rest. And Jesus said, go put the nets back in the water. Now, for Peter, he's probably thinking in his mind, that's not even reasonable. We had just fished all night. We had done everything we're supposed to. There's just no fish right now. It's just we couldn't get any. And I'm sure that Peter said, I've tried. It doesn't seem to work. But Lord, if that's what you say, that's what I'm going to do. Peter was saying, it's not according to my comfort or my agenda or my understanding. It's according to what you tell me. Here's a great truth I want us to keep in mind. When God speaks, we obey. But here's my question. When God speaks, do we obey or do we let him be an advisor to us? I fear that sometimes he's only an advisor. I fear that sometimes, you know, he just gives us advice, and, you know, advice is like something that you can take or you don't have to take. But for Peter, he said, Lord, according to your word. Lord, according to your word. And there are times in our life when God asks us to obey, and it may not make sense to us. It may not be comfortable for us. It may not be to our liking. It may not be the way we would think, but God would say to you, even though it doesn't make sense, are you willing to obey me because I'm the Lord of your life? And Peter was learning a lesson about ministry, because that's how the ministry is. God has got to be the Lord of the ministry. Amen and amen. Because what God is saying is, when he's the Lord of the ministry, it affects every aspect of your life. Every aspect. From what time you get up, what you do, and your motive, and all of those things, it affects you. And that's what God wanted Peter to understand. He needs to be the Lord of life. Here's the second part of that. Reaching souls is first. Reaching souls is first. The supreme affairs of the ministry is to catch fish. In this case, we're talking about souls. That's what the ministry is about. That's what missions is about. That's why when we talk about Mission Sundays is about reaching those who are unreached. Telling those who do not know Jesus, who Jesus is, and what it can make a difference in their life. And that's why, like here at our church, we want to create for people when they come here who do not know yet Christ, an environment where they can be comfortable and understand they're among people that genuinely care. And they're normal people just like they are. Because that's primary. A church needs to reach those who are not yet believers. And I believe that series about building bridges is so important for us. That we build bridges in our community. We get to know people in our community with the intention of inviting. Remember, we invest and we invite. And Jesus is teaching Peter and James and John and Andrew and those who were maybe along the side of the bank there in that Galilean, northern Galilean seashore. He was teaching them that reaching souls is a priority. And then thirdly, that God is the one that brings success. It is God that ultimately gives success. Have you ever tried to do something and you did all that you could, but you just can't do anymore, and it just seems like it's a failure? That's what Peter had done. He had done all that he possibly could. But what God wanted him to understand is when you let God become the Lord of your life, when you invite God into the work that you're doing, God is the one that will give you the success. And that success will not be according to maybe what the world says, but that'll be according to what God wants in our life. So we let God, we bring God into the equation. We want God to have a... And by the way, if we're going to reach people here at Calvary Baptist Church, we need like that. They need God to come in and do the work. They need God to come in and take over the ship, because humanity will fail, but God's power will go beyond what humans can do. See, that's the power of God. And God is the one that brings success. While our vision may be local to reach our community, for the missionary, it's worldwide. And by the way, notice something about missionaries. They're normal people, just like you and me. And that gives us an opportunity to just look at and say, hey, you know what? Since they're like that, let's come alongside them and support them and pray for them and encourage them just like we do each other. Two elements we've already looked at. Number one, we need people. Men and women. I'm using the word men in a generic sense. Number two, we need for us to understand there's a message in the story. But thirdly, without this one, we need the master in the story. The master of the story is, of course, Jesus. What does he do? Number one, he calls men. He does the calling. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, there as they had just finished out, and he wanted them to understand that this calling that God had given to them is a divine calling. And it's him, it's he the one that does the calling. You know, I've heard of some people sometimes that they would go in ministry because their parents wanted them in the ministry. And while I admire a parent that would want their children to serve in the ministry, that's not the reason why someone should go in the ministry. Someone should go in the ministry because God calls them in the ministry. Amen? And it's just that way. Peter, James, and John, Andrew, they're being called into the ministry. He says, I don't want you to fish anymore for fish. I want you to fish for men. Follow me, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men on another occasion. And so Jesus, the master of the story, he does the calling. But secondly, he consecrates our resources, or the resources that we have. He takes what we have. He takes who we are, and he uses it for his honor and for his glory. You see, the story really is not about Peter and James and John and Andrew. The story is about the Master Jesus. He is the one that's superlative. He is the one that's able to have those fish come into those nets. He's the one that can give us the power to be able to accomplish the task. It's not ourselves. It's not our ability. It's not our gift of gab. It's Jesus that matters. And the nets are breaking because it's God, the one that provides. But then thirdly, he captures their devotion. In the master of the story, he it is that captures their devotion. One morning, about 4 a.m., I was reading my Bible, and I'm not, you know, I just get up early, so it's, I'm not saying that to impress you. I'm just saying I was up early. I was reading my Bible. It was the first thing I do. And I got up that morning, and I was reading Psalm 73. And I know all of you, I'm sure you've been there. You read something, and it's just that for some reason, and I want every morning to be that way, but it just seemed like that morning was extra special, where God was there with me. Now, I know he's there every morning, but it just seemed like it was so real. I mean, it was just like I was like on the edge of heaven. And I read this verse, and it just it just captivated me for about an hour. I just couldn't get over it. Here's what it said. Psalm 73:25 said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee." Man, that verse just stood out to me. That, you know, in heaven, God, you're it. I mean, when I think of heaven, you know, I was thinking about, I was preaching a John Hood service, and some of you were here, and you remember I kind of touched on the fact that I said, think about it, when John went to heaven, he was able to see some of the saints of old, you know. You see Abraham, and there's Joseph over there in the corner, you know. And then you see, you know, Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Paul and David and Solomon. You know, all these people that you read about, you know, the giants of the faith. But I'll be honest with you, I don't think when we get to heaven, that won't matter. You're going to say, take me directly to Jesus. That's what's going to captivate us. He's the one. And I believe that's what the psalmist is saying, that for me, who have I in heaven but thee, Lord? Jesus, you're it. I mean, really, when you think about life, and once you become a believer and you put your faith in Christ, what do we have in life besides Jesus? What is it that's worth living for besides Jesus? What's it worth serving about besides Jesus? I mean, it's all of that. That's what it's about. And notice here something very, very interesting in the passage. I believe it's a kind of a like a double-edged sword, if you would. Look at verse number 8 with me, please. Would you notice something very interesting here? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And I've thought about this verse. Why would Peter say that? Because I'll be honest with you, you know, when I think about it, Jesus, as great as he is, I don't know that I would tell him to leave. I would want him to stay. I would want him to be around, and I would want him to help me and to guide me and be there for me. But when you consider the holiness of Jesus Christ, when you consider the greatness of God, when you consider the superlative value of who he is and of his holiness, it has an attraction on one side because it's something you've never seen before. But on the other side, it points out to our own sinfulness. It shows who we really are. You think about Moses when he met Jesus out in the wilderness in that burning bush. Jesus told him, "Take off your shoes, for the ground in which you stand is holy ground." You think about Jacob when he wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord. That was the Lord Jesus. The Bible said that he was struck and he limped on the hollow of his thigh after he'd been touched by Jesus. You think about what Isaiah did when he saw the Lord high and lifted up in Isaiah chapter 6. The Bible said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." He realized that even though the superlative greatness of God is evidenced in the holiness of God, in the perfection of God, he realized also his own sinfulness. And you know, honestly, tonight, that's exactly the way it is when we think of this greatness of God himself. But he captures our attention because of who he is. What caused Moses to do what he did? Because he saw the glory of God. What caused Peter to go on and do what he did? Because he was captivated by the Master. Tonight, I will tell you this, there are people who are serving in some very difficult places, whose lives can be taken at any moment, any time, but they're captivated by the majesty of the Master. You see, that's the whole story. And I believe that day when those men walked away, I believe they understood what the message was. They understood who the men were that God wanted to use and who the master was and what he had intended for them to do. Did they always take the story and apply it? No, they struggled just like we do because they're normal people. But God used them because that was God's main concern. I'm going to tell you, I believe that's God's main concern for Solano County. I believe that's God's main concern for California and the world. Let's not forget, as we come on to these Sundays, as we prepare for these Sundays in our own hearts, to realize that God's main concern should be our main concern too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray tonight that as we just have looked at this message here and seen how that these elements of men, of the message, and of the master, how they make such an impact in the world, and they did in the first century and they can today. Father, pray that there be people who would be willing to go, and thank you for our missionaries who are willing to go. Lord, I pray that we would realize the message that while there's a message of hope for those without Jesus who have no hope, but Lord, there's also a message for the believer, for those of us who know you, to make you the Lord of our life, to be willing to make the priorities that you tell us in Scripture to be first place. Lord, I pray that you would guide us now in this week as we go out, that you would use us, that we could build some bridges in our community. We might build those relationships in which ultimately we can invite them to the Savior. We pray you would guide us now in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand our feet very quietly while our heads are bowed. Thank you. I hope you have a great week. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. Brother Coleman, would you come and close in prayer? We'll have you come and close us. And be sure and pray for each other. I'll be flying out tomorrow night to go back.